And hello, and welcome to the Bus Factor. This week, we're missing our lovely Stephen, but in his place, we've got third time guest star of Peter.
Hello from Peter.
So Stephen, actually quite a lot of our office is currently away overseas in hopefully sunny Canberra. I believe the weather was quite good there. So they're at B-Sides Canberra, security conference over there. I didn't make it this year, sadly. I hear they had some buses lined up for us, though, but sadly, yeah, I wasn't there. Hopefully Stephen can tell us all about them next week.
So Stephen will be talking about them. He doesn't have a live demo this week, although they're running 2 hours earlier.
Yeah, so they're like in the middle of their talks at the moment. So I should send that tweet that I lined up. Boom, tweeted. Yeah, so
I was making a comment just before I arrived here at 10 to 5, New Zealand time, that is, and watching the buzzers from the street instead of up from the office. And I saw buzzers going through red lights. I thought this was all a game for the likes of these guys, but apparently not. The real buzzers that go through real red lights.
Were you on one that went through one as you came?
Not today. I was walking. But yeah. The other day I came through this intersection on a buzz and he went through a red light.
Yeah, it does happen quite often. I mean, we get, up to... Well, probably an average of around 10 buses in a space of an hour every week.
This is generally a heavier bus traffic time, though, isn't it?
Yeah, so we notice when we do the show on Thursdays, we actually get more buses running red lights. So we do wonder whether the buses know that we're filming and reporting them. It's really hard to know.
But at some stage, won't you set up cameras so that it records day and night?
That is on the road plan, yes.
And you need more than just the one intersection.
Definitely. I mean, this is just an easy one for us because it's the office. But yeah, we want to set it up so we can just have, we set up a camera in someone's office, pointed at a traffic light, and it automatically detects where the traffic lights are and where the buses might go, and works out when they run red lights and does something based on that automatically.
When I was doing traffic engineering, I used a whole bunch of students and we stood around on about 30 intersections in a city in New Zealand. I don't need to say which one. But they'd recently gone from a two-way road system to a one-way road system. So we were interested in knowing how the traffic flowed. And so we got the students to stand on the corners, record the number plates and the time they went through that intersection.
Yeah.
Now, this, you might say, well, you've got cameras, but in fact, this I've got to comment that this was about 40 years ago.
So that was a bit before cameras were invented. Oh, cameras. Was the internet around then?
Cameras were invented, but they were film ones.
Yeah.
Not digital. And certainly not live cameras for the average bod.
Yeah, definitely.
But the interesting thing is the data processing afterwards that I did, you found some vehicles were going round in circles.
Because you got the number plate as well. So, yeah.
So we could identify individual vehicles and what their travel times were and therefore what their speeds were.
Yeah.
And we were trying to assess the difference between the one-way system and the two-way systems. Well, the same principle applies here, that you could have 1,000 students at every intersection recording mealy buzzers.
Yeah. I mean, we do actually have some students working for the Bus Factor, kind of. But we're not meant to talk too much on
cameras,
the detail.
Cameras are better.
Yeah, so we're going to use cameras and automate it with computers rather than just throw manpower at it.
Except for vandalism, I presume.
So, I mean, the best way to get around manpower, I think we've got a police or something coming through.
We've got a siren nonetheless.
Yeah, there's a... Oh, yeah, that looks like a cop. That's one. Just the one.
Went through a red light, but that's allowable.
Yeah, I mean, that's a...
And what's more, the buzzer stopped for them.
One did, and then it kept on going weirdly. Not sure why, but... yeah, so using cameras to automate everything is a lot better. Would be interesting to see like how often buses are like reused, like because we can get number plates and see if the same bus goes on the same route every time.
But you don't have this scheduled for next week, I presume.
No, this is probably going to take up to a year. But it will be interesting when it does come through.
Very good to hear that. Anyway, so now we watch the buzzers. And you've got other topics on your board.
Yeah, we do have some news this week. Some news that I'm sure everyone's been waiting for. To answer the people on the chat, this is Wellington. This is the corner of Victoria and Manners Street. That's the chat window just down there. You can even say hi to people. You just go hi and push enter. So probably the main news of this week. So this is something that we've talked about the last couple of weeks. So there's a...
What about this bus?
This bus might be going through. Yeah, that's one. That's Route 32. I didn't catch the number. Yeah. So what we do here is we bus count up to one. And that was Route 32 straight at 5:09. So I just take notes on which buses, in case Metlink actually do want to follow up on anything.
So far they have not followed up?
They reply to my emails and say, we've forwarded this on to NZ Bus, and that's about it. So have you seen the new bus colours?
No, I haven't.
So this second...
Is that purpley thing?
No, the second bus here, which our viewers, I don't think, can quite see.
Lime green.
Yeah, so we'll see it coming past now. So it's yellow on the front, then lime green, and then yellow half on the back. It's...
They run out of paint.
It's really weird. I thought it was just like they went to a bad panel beater and that was all they could find, but apparently, no, that is going to be the new colours of the Metlink buses come July. Oh, so that was close. That was close. Not another one hiding. So news we've talked about last couple of weeks is the Drupal. Oh, yeah, there's actually a bus that the last bus that was coming towards us is kind of just sitting. Oh, a cop just drove past there. I wonder if he knows. It's kind of just sitting, blocking the lane closest towards us. Can't actually see any numbers on it, though.
It's diverting the...
Yeah, it is making the traffic kind of go a bit slower and move around it. It's a problem with our camera setup is we don't get the red light runners coming the other way. We can't easily get it. So out there's like a open kind of canopy type thing. So we could kind of climb around there and put a camera there. But yeah. Be a bit hard.
Health and safety.
Ah, get a ladder. Well, you can walk along from there around. Anyway, so news we've talked about last couple of weeks is the Drupal. So Drupal is a content management system, runs on PHP. A couple of weeks ago, they had a security, this one here. All right, so there was 729, I believe, 729. So that is our second for the day. 729. 729.3511. Drupal, PHP CMS. A couple of weeks ago, they had a security release which they didn't give too many details on what the security release was. They just kind of sanitized all the input that people were sending to Drupal's, and they marked it as critical and urged people to update very quickly. So they gave like an hour window being like, you should update within this hour period. No other details will be released up until here. 2 weeks have passed, and we've finally got a proof of concept showing how we can get remote code execution. So the one I found was a one I found was a post auth one, but it's not too bad. So you just need to have a login to a Drupal site. So if you've got like open registration, Stephen's messaging me and getting in the way of my search. Drupal POC. I believe it was in the mail one they used, but I believe just any form you can use it on. I can't search from that one. Yeah, so you get a login to a Drupal, you sign up, and then you get basically RCE. So yeah, they're doing it get parameter of element parents, account /mail, and doing some fancy URL encoding and value %23. I don't know that one off the top of my head. And then in the post body, we put PHP info just to show that we're getting PHP info out. But we can just put any PHP code in there, like system, ID, system, give me a root shell, etc. Have you heard of Drupal, Peter?
I've heard the name, but because I'm not what you might call an IT professional, I don't deal with it on a day-to-day basis, I've never used it, but I've heard the name.
You probably have used it. You would be surprised. So Drupal has one of the world's biggest CMSs. So most websites that have configurable content run Drupal under the hood.
So I accept in that sense I've used it, but it's been in the background.
You haven't been an admin, yeah.
And therefore, if something works in the background, then I don't need to know, or and to a large extent don't need to care.
Yeah.
I just want things to work.
Oh, definitely. Making things work is always a good thing. Do you want to just say something again? Just
why is that?
Oh, that's better. That's better. You were a bit quiet. So that was the sound test done. Probably should have done that before, but oh well. This is what you get for the bus factor. And a lot of ums. So that was the Drupal code. Drupal proof of concept. Our first story. You brought a couple of questions along.
Well,
didn't you?
One of the, because as I said, I'm not an IT professional, but I have an interest in some of these things. One thing I was sort of looking at the other day was to do with authentication on machines, and of course that's always a concern. I started out back in the days when we never authenticated because we were sitting at the monitor of the machine back in the 1960s. And for a long time after that, that was the case. But of course now you have to authenticate on everything.
There was no real need for authentication back then, was there? Because kind of everyone that was on the network kind of knew each other.
Well, you may recollect when you were little, Hugh, that we used to have a password set on the home computer.
Yes, and you had many passwords.
This was...
for those listeners that don't know, Peter is my father, which is why he knew me when I was little.
And we had a password set to control the hours of use. And it was a great exercise by the children to try to work this out. And so they developed a lot of skills in
hacking at an early age.
Yeah. Mostly.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. Someone in the office learned how to basically splice together two network cables because their dad cut it to stop internet going out. It's pretty good. Back when I was using internet, we just had the coax cable, MBST.
One of my boys changed the, when it wouldn't work for him, he changed the switch setting on the back of the computer from 220 volts to 110.
I think everyone's done that.
And fried the power supply.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone has done that. Makes a good noise. That's the computer gone. Yeah, I think my favorite trick back then was when James swapped the keyboards for another computer, and then Mum typed in the password, realized it wasn't going on to the computer, so she thought the keyboard wasn't plugged in, then moved it to the correct computer, typed in the password, we logged in, then he like just turned on the other monitor and got the password. But then I think he sold it to me, and I told Mum and Dad straight away, and got changed.
That would have been when he was about 10, I think.
Yeah, that was a waste of a dollar. But oh well.
But authentication is necessary now, and I read that there were several new authentication methods being proposed as standards, or just being approved as standards. I wasn't quite sure.
You weren't quite sure. You weren't quite sure about these new standards.
Well, no, I'm not quite sure about authentication at all.
Well, authentication, yeah, sure. What were some of these new standards that you weren't sure about?
Well, they had funny names, so I can't even remember those.
Okay, well, I saw you had it written down. I like how you're pretending so hard to not know anything. So I believe you're talking about WebAuthn.
Yeah, that was the name, yeah. It's written down. I'd have to go back to my piece of paper to work it out.
He
was thrown.
Yeah, just. We'll show you some B-roll later, I think. Showing the full winter section. We didn't get a chance to show you last week. Yeah, so WebAuthn, it's a new standard. It's kind of been out for a while, but it's recently just been kind of implemented in Chrome and Firefox, etc. So that's probably what you would have found when you were searching for authentication. So WebAuthn is, I mean, long story short, it's basically a web API to get public key authentication through the browser, which is kind of a cool thing to do. So historically, well, up until now, like when we do authentication in the browser, we can either do like username password, or we can do like clunky SSL public key authentication where you have to generate a certificate that conforms to PKI, and that's got...
And you have to carry those around with you.
Yeah, so that's got a whole kettle of fish problems with it. With this WebAuthn, you can... This will be it. 2468 and 761. So that's route 2. I'll write that down. 761 turn... And 2486 route 2 straight at 521. And then we update that to get 4. Oh, he's only just... Oh, yeah, I can potentially double check that number. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be. 2468. I think that's 2468, route 2.
I can't read it from this distance.
Yeah. It's kind of blurry windows. The quality you get on the camera is quite bad, but the quality we get is still pretty bad.
So carrying on about WebAuthn.
Yeah, so WebAuthn, it's...
Password, username, password.
So it's kind of getting away from the username, password, and going solely to private, public key authentication. So you still have to have some sort of token on you, as you say, was the bad thing.
You just have to have a long string, but not one that.
Oh, this is a good one. So that's 4237. 4237 straight 522. Just blocking. Yeah. So you basically have to have a long string, as you call it. You're probably not going to remember this long string because it's going to be very, very long. But it means that you don't have to have password reuse, so you can kind of generate a different key for every website, and you can use this API to manage them all for you.
But at some stage, you've got to prove who you are.
Who are you proving it to?
Well, to a machine of some sort.
Yeah, so when you sign up to an account, it's the same thing as passwords. When you prove who you are, you register an account, you say, this is my username, this is my password.
So you don't type in this long string?
No, you don't. So the API deals with it for you.
So you have to have some way of presenting it to the machine. Long string.
Yeah, so this is what the API does for you. All that handles behind the scene, sign up to a service.
So you have a copy stored somewhere?
Yeah, so it'll be stored on your computer, which you can... 2446 route 8. 2446 route 8, turn 524. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I missed that last one, I thought. Bus count up to 6. Yes.
So you have to carry some machine around, but everyone carries a smartphone these days, do they?
Yeah, a lot of people carry smart devices. How you get the keys between all your devices, I'm still not 100% clear on. That might be done through, you might give it a password and it generates that. It might sync through existing password syncing techniques. Could be done, it could be anywhere. But WebAuthn is the technology, and it is in place in the Chrome and Firefox. Is that a bus trying to turn? Yeah, that is a bus trying to turn. Can't make it. Not sure why he tried to turn.
And he's in a red light.
Right, so that's 4195. Definitely couldn't fit. Route 7. 4195. 4195. Route 7. Turn 525. Last two were turners.
7 is Brooklyn or Arrow Street, is it?
7 is R, I believe. Could be wrong. Oh, that number 7 railway station going that way. He's quite forward off the thing. It's an interesting place for number 7 to be, though.
Yeah.
Because
they came down Willow Street.
Yeah, number 7 and number 8. Would come down Willow Streets, and that one's coming down from Manor Street.
Down Taranaki Street, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. But yeah, so the moral of this last story is we've got some new web authentication standards. They've been implemented in Chrome and Firefox. We should go check them out. We should go play. Application developers should try and implement them in their applications, try and get them used, work out issues, that's the way...
Test them.
Yeah, that's the way we get things tested. So go check it out. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, was this a big truck? What else did you have? You had something about the old, quite a big website, the old Book of Faces.
There was, Facebook was on my list because it seems to have been in the news a lot lately. Now, I, as an individual, I've...
You use it religiously.
I don't use Facebook at all.
You're one of the few.
I used to look over the shoulder of your mother as she used it to stalk her children.
She did do that.
Is this what Facebook is for stalking people?
You would have to ask the robot known as Mark Zuckerberg to know exactly what the purpose of Facebook is. So why did Facebook come up on your list of things to bring up?
Well, there was some sort of data leak, apparently.
Yeah.
But, well, whether it was a leak or whether it was just a managed release.
It's really hard to know. So do you know what the outcome of it was?
It's ongoing.
Ongoing? Who's involved?
Well, the CEO of Facebook, apparently.
Yeah.
There was some outfit in the UK who does political intelligence, I suppose that they might call themselves.
Yeah.
And the US Congress and the UK government are questioning it because of potential interference with elections and a referendum.
So people have for a while thought that Facebook and Cambridge Analytica have been interfering with elections such as the Brexit and
the referendum.
Yeah, in the United States presidential election, which is how we've got Trump as a president and Britain no longer part of...
Well, in the process.
In the process of moving. Oh, yeah, there we go. Oh, I missed the bus number there. Route number 4. Route 4, straight 529. And we can bump that up to a nice 8. We've got 8 buses already.
And of
course, one thing Stephen and I normally do at the start is we have a little guess on...
Estimate how many buses there might be, but I've listened to you doing that, and I wouldn't have a clue. This is very statistical and with a wide variation.
Oh, it's got a very wide variation. We kind of, I think for some
but
of it...
But it does strike me there's usually around 10 or a dozen.
Yeah, we kind of see buses during the day, how many... Like, yeah, we kind of have a bit of a idea on how many it's going to happen. Yeah, it kind of depends on a lot of things, like weather, like events, how many people are out, how many... Well, like, there should always be the same amount of buses just driving through. Also, how many cars are around, which is... Yeah, it depends on a lot of things. But we've already got 8. We're only halfway through.
I wouldn't want to hazard a guess.
That's fair. I mean, the best guess you could probably get is 16 by the hour up, because we've got 8 so far. So the light cycles, I think, were roughly 7 minutes apart. So we noticed that one week because we had just a bus run a red light every 7 minutes.
So in the old days, traffic lights used to be controlled with mechanical relays. And they would break down, whatever. But now they're all electronic.
Yeah, all electronic.
Solid state.
Including,
I think, the lights are actually LEDs these days, new ones.
Yeah, the new ones. I'm not sure if these ones are or not.
They don't go back and retrofit them.
Yeah.
Unless they need replacing.
So these ones could be the old halogen, I guess.
But when you think about light bulbs and how long they last, you know,
yeah.
they have to be, you know, maintained. But taking out the whole fitting and replacing it with a an LED unit is not so trivial.
Yeah.
But one of the consequences of them being solid state electronic is, of course, they can have more control and different sequencing than the old mechanical relay.
Yeah, so one thing you notice around town is they tend to have like a day cycle and a night cycle, and some intersections also have a peak cycle, which kind of just allows for maximum flow. It's still not like the most efficient because it's a hard problem to solve citywide, trying to get the most efficiency out of the roads.
But I would imagine this one has had some thought put into it.
Oh, it's had some thought, yeah.
But there's no truly optimal solution for everything.
Nah, I mean, well, some things have an optimal solution.
Now, but the intersection is blocked at the moment.
Yeah, so we've got a few cars, three cars. Right, yeah, so we've actually got cars all the way back into the bus lane, so the buses can't go.
And the bus
and the cyclists can't go.
Green.
Oh, nah, the car's moving, car's moving.
And the bus is now moving.
Right, so the bus is going past. Car didn't move far, so if there's a turner, they might struggle. Could be an interesting one. A lot of buses held up. Nah, it looks all right, it looks all right. So one thing we could do, now that it's just changed, is look at the B-roll that we have. So this is something I filmed the other day. Voice is still working, that's good. So here we have, once it settles, that zero will be over. So that's, if we're not playing noughts and crosses. Zero will be over the light that we can see from our window, and the two crosses are the red lights from the other way. So here you see the light just went orange, and the light we see is not orange, and it's red. Light we see is still green, and then it goes orange, then red. And the difference between that, if you count it through, is about 7 seconds. What are we looking for? Your piece of paper. I'm not sure where you put yours. So if we have a look through this again, we have orange, red, then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, roughly 7 seconds between the first lights going through and the second. So that's kind of showing that when we see buses go through red lights, they've run through red lights like 7 seconds before they even get there.
Except, Hugh...
there's a bit of travel time.
When did you do that?
I did that on a Friday morning around 8:30.
8:30 in the morning. Because, as I say, 10 to 5, when I was outside...
Yep.
I was standing beside the lights further back, watching, and they both turned green at the same time.
So they both turned green at the same time, which I will wait until the next cycle, and I'll quickly check, because I think they both turned green at the same time, but they stagger the red lights.
Oh, yeah. So I should have stopped and watched but there was a whole stream of buzzers going through on red lights.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, as you said at the start, like, you thought that we were just doing this for a joke, but this is serious business.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean, I was being facetious when I said a joke. I knew it was real.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm interested how long it has been going. Right, so it's gone red again. So we'll flick back to the B-roll. So they're both red. And then they both turn green at the same time. Yeah, so they both turn green at the same time.
Yeah. Then they to red at different times.
Yeah, so the front ones changed to red like 7 seconds before. which could change based on... there's a lot of traffic going this way, I've noticed, along Victoria Street. Like, cars are just backed up in this one lane. I wonder whether people are, like, doing a loop and coming back onto Willis Street. Like, this guy's now holding up everyone because he wants to move in. Oh, yeah, there's a guy just in the middle. What else do we have? Oh, we had a kind of interesting flaw. So it's Cisco Hardware. So Cisco is a networking company that do routers and, well, a bunch of networking equipment. They recently had a flaw, and some hackers found that flaw and hacked a bunch of Iranians, I believe. I should just double check which country I'm saying got attacked. Got this on my list. Yeah, Iran. So a lot of their, like, quite central routers got hit by this attack. And
so was this a case that they could log into the router?
Yeah.
And change the settings.
So the flaw was, well, there were kind of two flaws. There was a denial of service one, and there was also remote code execution one. So I can't remember which one did this, like, kind of random thing. So the thing that they did to all these things was replace it with the American flag and say something along the lines of "don't control our elections," which I'm unsure why they aimed that at the Iranians, but it was kind of interesting that we had a kind of countrywide attack for, like, political reasons. That's your cue card from the first show you were here. It's memorabilia like this one. We've still got the sign from our first episode saying your podcast is really awesome. That was held up. Yeah, we've been doing this a long time. How long have you been watching?
I thought you'd been going for, what, 2 months? More like 6 or 7, is it?
It's close to a year.
Close to a year, is it?
Yeah, I think we started in the middle of winter last year. And what, we're just almost hitting winter again. Yeah, it's
so with quite a while. With winter coming, of course, the one thing I noticed last winter is that it became dusk, and as the light is fading now, of course, what happens is because you are lit here, you get a reflection through that other window.
Yeah, so we will start seeing, so the reflection we can see there, we can see it in the camera there. The reflection we can see down the bottom is actually a pharmacy on the floor below us. And as it gets darker and darker at the time we film, you can actually see into the office because we've got, like, lights on and we're holding up microphones and we're just, like, standing by the window looking out. And, yeah, it looks pretty bad. Oh, that guy's there. Yeah. So what was the third thing you had on your list?
Well, the third thing I had on my list was a breach at the UK Great Western Railway. Commuters were told to change their passwords. Now, this may not be relevant to... New Zealand readers, of course, or listeners.
Transport related.
The Great Western Railway goes from London across to Bristol. And the railway system in the UK offer Wi-Fi for people. And apparently there's been a leak. And it's slightly relevant to me because I was planning a trip to the UK and I was going to travel by trains. So I was a potential victim at some stage.
Did you change your password?
Well, no, I wasn't doing it. I may not change my password because I work on the basis that I don't have anything to hide. Unlike the American Homeland Security, which probably won't give me their passwords.
You've got nothing to hide.
Well, that's right. If the US Homeland Security won't give me their passwords.
I'm not sure it works quite like that.
I think it's tit for tat, isn't it? If they want mine, surely they're prepared to give theirs out.
It's not normally how governments work in just power in general. So last month we've been seeing MANA buses going
Victoria Street.
And then they pull it at the bus stop, which kind of makes it seem like there's a bus route that
going up to Brooklyn
isn't like listed anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm calling it the ghost route. We could call it the MANA ghost.
Well, you could go and stand up there afterwards and wait for one to come.
They don't come too often. I think it's like...
Or I could go and stand there and then I could hop on it with my gold card.
Yeah, you do have a gold card. So in New Zealand, the gold card is something that...
Pensioners.
Who implemented it? It was NZ First. One of our political parties.
Winston.
Yeah, old Winnie. We got some blockage of the road. He implemented this card that pensioners could basically travel on public transport for free during non-peak times, right?
Yes.
Oh, I think that beep was potentially a Turner wanting to get past. Oh, a random cyclist came through. No, I don't know. You can just travel for free on buses, trains, ferries.
Off peak time.
But just, from 9:30 onwards?
Just local buses.
Just local. But local includes quite a large period, doesn't it?
Up to Waikanae and to Upper Hutt.
Yeah.
And trains to Masterton.
You can get buses around Masterton, can't you?
Don't think so. I don't think there are any buses around Masterton.
I thought they did run a local bus service around there.
I've never tried.
I suppose there's not that much to bus to. Because, yeah, there's definitely a bus service around Kapiti. Like, you can go from Pycock out to Paraparamu.
Yeah, yeah. But the train system works out to Waikanae.
Yeah, trains go out to Waikanae, trains go out to Masterton. The Masterton train's a bit different from the Kapiti train, though. Takes about the same amount of time, but it's a diesel-pulled train, not a electric train, which is the Kapiti.
It used to be an electric diesel.
Yeah, they changed it for some reason. It was... cheaper to run it as the diesel, wasn't it? Because they had to do more maintenance or something. We've had that a few places in the country where they've taken away electric areas and changed them to diesel because it's cheaper. But
now, this is not buzzers, but it is scheduled that the electric rail system in New Zealand, there's a local electric rail system in Auckland and there's local one in Wellington.
Yep.
For the suburban trains. But on the main trunk line, it's electrification between Palmerston North and Te Rapa, just south of Hamilton. And that was done, but the three systems are all different.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit weird.
And the previous government has decreed that the electrification of the Palmerston North to Te Rapa line should be removed and go back to diesels.
Yeah.
Not steam. The current government may want to reverse that.
Yeah.
Given that they have the Green Party as part of the coalition.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of swapped back sides with our governments.
And while not buzzers, it's still public
We do talk
infrastructure.
Transport related. Well, I suppose it's not really transport Well, there is some transport.
Yeah, I think it's only the freight.
But it's mainly freight on the North Trunk.
I think the passenger trains are not electric locos.
Yeah, I don't believe they are. They're all steam, aren't they? They cost a lot.
No, they're diesel.
Are they diesel? They cost a lot to ride. I think it's like $130 to go from Auckland to Wellington.
More than an airfare.
Yeah. And it takes like 13 hours. It's kind of fun for the first hour.
You do it once.
Yeah.
I might add that in 50 years, I haven't done it at all.
I think I've done it 3 times. Not sure why. Well, I know like why, but I don't know why I keep on doing it.
So the Great Western Railway apparently had a problem with their sort of authentication, I guess, passwords. And they were very apologetic, and they said to their passengers, and there's a lot more rail users in the UK than there is in New Zealand.
So do you know what happened? Like, well, how did it get leaked?
I don't know the mechanism by which it's whatever.
Usually I'd mention with those ones that are kind of silently, oh, we've got a problem, but we're not saying why. It's normally like database injection, and you can get out passwords and just get a big password dump that way. Yeah. But I mean, it could be something else. I don't know the story off the top of my head. So
what is the advice to me if I travel to the UK? Should I not use a smartphone? Should I go back to using public call boxes?
My advice would be the advice I give to all of our clients is to have basically a password manager and have different passwords for every service. So you can get those for your phone. You can get them for your laptop. You can have them all sync up.
So what happens if I drop my phone in a bucket of water?
Then it's also on your laptop.
Hopefully.
You can also store them in the cloud. You can have backups. You can have USB keys.
Are they safe in the cloud?
Reasonably safe in the cloud. I think the one we recommend to clients is not a cloud-based password manager. Yeah. But
I understand there's some cloud services that just stop working.
That does happen from time to time. So, yeah, I tend to steer away from cloud-based services myself, but I'm that sort of person, I guess. It's probably because I got bought up by you and you're just very anti-cloud. I mean, yeah, like you're putting your whole... You're relying on another company and you have kind of no means of backup, which I think is the point you're kind of erring to there.
Yeah. I mean, going back quite a number of years now, there was the mega update in kim.com. And of course, it's still festering in the background.
Yeah.
It's not been completely resolved. The Mr. Trump is not... not got him back, or Mr. Trump and his allies have not got him back into the United States to crucify him there.
Yeah.
Whether he deserves crucifying is another issue, but New Zealand is holding out.
There was some push for that late last year, wasn't it? Because it's kind of that story that it's there, but not much happens on it. But
yeah.
So that bus must have detoured
came up Victoria Street.
Yeah, Victoria Street. And so now it's full of people and it's just going back on its route.
Yeah.
I'm not going to count that one because I think it was just detoured.
He was doing a turn.
Yeah.
He was in a green light and in Victoria Street. He wasn't coming through Manchester.
Yeah, so technically it's a no left turn, but that's because it's a bus only. No,
left turn for buses only.
No, because buses aren't meant to be coming up there. Like, that's why it's weird the minor buses come up there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like almost no buses.
You mean it's a blanket no left turn, And yet,
yeah, Blanket
only,
no
only
left
buses
turn.
Are allowed to go along Manor Street.
Yeah. So the signs are confusing because it says accept buses, so that's like a bus only lane. But the one from Victoria Street is just a blanket no left.
Yeah, even if you're a bus.
Even if you're a bus, because why are you going down there?
But he thought he was doing all right.
Yeah. But clearly probably detoured, which it's kind of interesting why detoured down there. So if you detour that block, you do miss. You don't actually miss any stops. There's no stops on that block coming this way.
I thought there was one in Manor Street.
There's one on Manor Street coming towards us, but there's not one this way. Coming going away from
us. So the next one is just down.
Yeah, so the next one is roughly where they will stop.
And the last one is there. Outside the
opposite the New World.
Yeah.
So you can turn down
Mercer Street. And then into Wakefield Street.
So some buses do turn down Mercer Street, like the ones that go down the Keys. Well, they don't. They go down Wakefield
Street. And so by diverting from their usual route, are they doing the wrong thing?
It's hard to know because you don't know the reason why they diverted. Now I'm just kind of waiting for a bus to go there to see if no buses. There might have been an accident just down there.
So, because there hasn't been any coming along here for a wee while.
Yeah, I don't actually know when the last one was. Makes it disappointing for us because we are unlikely to see red light runners.
You're relying on buses coming along in order to get red light runners. So you might have, sort of run out of them.
Yeah, it could be the end of the show, folks. Should check the chat. Eight runners, yeah, we got eight runners. There's no timestamp on chats.
Is that a future mod request?
Dunno. What time are we anyway? 53. Oh, yeah, we're almost at the end.
But there really hasn't been many coming along.
No, there hasn't now that I've seen that one bus come through. So this next cycle we might see more turning. Yeah, it's kind of a bit interesting. Oh, no, there we go.
No,
we might be back.
Which way did he come from?
He would have come from Manners. They're all coming from Manners. Might have just been
a lot of them.
Temporary backup. Yeah. Not too many. I would have expected more if there was like a big backup.
Yeah.
But I mean, might be kind of backed up there.
Now, I don't want a complication because I was going to walk down there and catch a bus.
Well, the thing is, normally after a Bus Factor episode, I would do the same. I'd walk down and I'd catch the bus. And I'd feel a bit weird because I've spent the last hour talking about how buses run red lights all the time.
Slating them.
And then I jump on a bus and get home. I mean, buses serve a great purpose for communities.
But you want them to adhere to the rules.
Yeah, so I understand people make mistakes from time to time, but I'm also a big fan of professional drivers behaving professionally. Which to me would kind of imply less mistakes are made. But the fact that we can get, eight red lights in half an hour.
What you don't measure, of course, is the
there's a lot of good bus drivers.
Cars that run red lights.
Yeah.
And I suspect there's a lower incidence.
There probably is, but the average car driver drives a lot less than the average bus driver.
Yeah.
And they're not professional drivers. Yes. Like, I wouldn't hold them to
the same standards.
Same standard. So I would think that buses or taxi drivers should really be driving with a more professional standard and less mistakes should be made. So, like, if there was only one red light a week, one red light in an hour, I probably wouldn't care that much.
Yeah.
But if there's close to 10
yeah.
consistently every week, and you can see that there's an issue. Yeah. The big thing for me is the parent company just doesn't seem to care that buses do run red lights. They're just like, oh, we'll just tell the bus operator. And the bus operator's like, cool, we'll just delete that email.
But was that the same attitude when you contacted the taxi company, or did that get resolved in the end?
Which taxi company?
Well, I thought you had an issue with a taxi a few weeks ago.
Taxi company, yeah. So I contacted the taxi driver, I believe, was drunk. I got out of the taxi, contacted the police. They sent someone after him, I don't know. They told me to contact the taxi company. I rang up the taxi company. They had such a weird... I was just very confused at the reaction they had. I was like, your driver's drunk. And I'm like, what? Like... Your driver's drunk.
Indifference.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, this. I thought this would just like, you'll be like, okay, yeah, we'll like
wave red flags for them.
But they were just like, okay, do you have anything else? And I'm like, oh, what?
Would you like chips for that?
So the NZTA did come back. So I also sent a thing to NZTA because NZTA don't have that much power. They can tell commercial operators like Metlink or taxi companies, so the bus operator Metlink,
they have overview rather than they can detail.
Yeah, so they can tell the taxi company as a whole, you haven't handled this complaint well, but they can't really do much about the individual, which I'm not that upset about for a taxi company or a bus company, because I don't see the problem being the individuals. I see it as
management what do you call it, culture.
Yeah, so like all these buses running red lights, it could probably be solved by just throwing some training at them and being like, try not to make rough moves and try not to run red lights all the time. People make mistakes. Try and like think
and accept that it happens occasionally.
Yeah, it will happen occasionally. When it happens in large volumes, then yeah, maybe do something about it. What time do we have?
17:59.
Yeah, we have sort of run out of time. We could watch one more light cycle if you want.
Have you run out of buzzers? Not a buzz in sight.
We haven't actually had a red light runner since 5:30, which is, yeah.
They've obviously been listening to you.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll watch this last one, and then we'll cut over to the credits. Would like to thank you for coming on again, though.
Filling in for Stephen while he's away on holiday.
Well, it's not really holiday, it's a conference.
No, I understand. I go to conferences. And yeah.
This is your third time on, isn't it?
Possibly something like that.
Yeah.
But I go to conferences and they're actually quite exhausting. There it is, red light, and that buzz just sort of got through.
Yeah, got through. So
on with the music.
Yeah. Thank you for Patreons. And we'll see you next week.